You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I think an NBA executive was quoted as saying the upside for Bronny James is Gary Harris, that is the upside, that is the highest point. And if he makes it to the NBA, Stugatz, that by itself is a monumental achievement, whether
no
he
doubt.
Has the bloodline or not, to get to the top 1% of the top 1% of there are 450 people in the world that get to play this sport at the top end.
If he gets to Gary Harris, that's gravy. I mean, he's made $100 million in his career.
That's all that matters, of course, is...
I'm just saying, you've made it to the NBA, the highest level of your sport, and Gary Harris, we'll laugh at it because it's LeBron's kid and it's Gary Harris, but Gary Harris is a decent player who made $100 million.
But you're right in saying that LeBron James inflated all of the expectations when he said, I'm watching NBA players right now and my son is better than them when he's not. And now you look at his collegiate stats and people have to point out, well, those were Jimmy Butler's collegiate stats at the beginning. Well, yeah, but Jimmy Butler was terrible at the beginning in college. Like, you can find a player who had those stats at the beginning. But it is, I think people underestimate, just like they did this with Cam Newton, where you sort of underestimate how big someone is physically, how they have to be physically in order to be the greatest goal line situation threat in the history of the league, how strong and big the person must be to do that in the NFL. I think we consistently underestimate how good these human beings are, as if a holy man reaches into the crib that LeBron James has in his home, and then all you need to do is put that in the pipeline, and it's going to be Gary Harris. Like, there are a lot of things that have to happen other than LeBron James's sperm in your system.
I think what's hard for the kid, for Bronny, is people will think or suggest or ask, did he have to work as hard as every other kid? And if you're projected as a second round pick in the NBA draft, then you've put the work in. He'll have to deal with that for the remainder of his life. Is it nepotism? Why is he getting these opportunities? But Dan, I have no doubt. First off, I agree with you. It's difficult to make it to professional sports. But as it pertains to Bronny, I have no doubt that he has put the work in. He is not getting this because of his father. He is getting this because he put the work in, and he's good enough to be maybe Gary Harris. And that's a decent career.
I mean, the counter argument would be you said you would draft LeBron's son just to get LeBron. So you're saying both things. You're saying that he's put in the work and he gets whatever he deserves. But you're also saying I'd take him just to get his dad.
He's put enough work in to make it to the NBA. He's put enough work in where some team's going to draft him.
But maybe he might get to the NBA just because somebody wants his dad, too.
Okay.
Which wouldn't be the same amount of work. Like, he would have a golden gilded path to the NBA.
Not only that, too, like, every step of his basketball life has been helped and aided through LeBron. You're talking about working with the best trainers. You're talking about working with dietitians. You're talking about working with workout guys that people that are of the general population don't have access to, right? Like, I've seen it playing hoops.
How jealous
myself.
Are you of his regimen that he had growing up?
Oh, incredible. Like,
where would you be if you had it?
That's a great question.
Probably Gary Harris. Like, why am I going to tell you?
A nice career. Gary Harris.
What? Yeah. But like, when you look at guys that come from those families, it's like, I played with Timmy Hardaway Jr. and like he was doing things when we were in high school that was collegiate and pro level workouts, dietitian. Like he was doing things that we weren't. And then it's like you get to a point where your natural talent plus the work that you put in at an elite level takes you to another level. And it's just like you can see it with that. So he's probably going to do something good.
We're just going to let Toady say he'd be Gary Harris if he had Brody's conditioning.
The difference
program
between you and Tim Hardaway Jr. was not his trainers.
What was it?
It's all the seed oils you ate growing up.
That's
if you had a professional parents in the NBA.
I give up.
Now we're talking.
You give up, Billy?
No, I didn't give up.
I gave up.
Yes.
Where would I be if I had his trainers? I think I could go D3.
Yeah, I think you're an example of where you'd be.
Lipscomb.
I made it to D3 without his trainers.
I'd be playing basketball at Lipscomb.
Lipscomb is a really good school, dude. I think Lipscomb's D1.
No, it's
just
not
a funny name.
I can't believe that I'm talking here about how hard it is to get to the NBA. And Tony just said that if he had Tim Hardaway Jr.'s trainers, he would have made $100 million.
Timmy's made like $200 million in his career.
Tony,
I was right there.
Gary Harris, 1 year, averaged 17.5 points per game. You're saying you would have done that?
If I had to grow up that Bronny did, I mean, I'd be closer than I would now.
Okay, and so I just want to be clear on something.
I love you.
Guys, Tyler Johnson made $75 million in the NBA. Tyler Johnson was way better at basketball than you. Okay, Jeremy, thank you, buddy. Wow. I mean, just incredible.
But I'm the one who's wrong here?
Welcome.
Okay,
every conversation with him.
Everybody breathe. I need everybody to breathe here because for all the delusions that we've had around here of Stugat says he would make 6 threes in an NBA game if he's.
I actually did. I mean, sorry. Not an NBA game. It was a high school game.
He did return a serve from a professional tennis player.
With a cigarette in his mouth.
Yep. Try that.
From Stugat saying he would make 6 NBA threes to Greg Cody saying he would hit 180 in the major leagues.
And that field goal, he would have done it if he wouldn't have gotten hurt that day.
Yeah, he pulled a hammy.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Don't forget I can throw an orange 100 yards.
I did not think that the audience could underestimate how hard it is to be these people who play professional sports in a way that was dumber. But to find in our own setting, Tony say that if he had the trainers because he was working out near Tim Hardaway Jr., he too would have $100 million contract in the NBA. Is a level of offensive that I cannot abide.
In how
spectacular it is in its ignorance, because I cannot have these people around me. Stugatz already thinks that if he did anything in the world, he would be exceptional at it. We have diagnosed him with an affliction, a disease, Dunning-Kruger effect.
Uh-huh.
We have diagnosed this because he has this. He's a waddling 5'6". Anything in professional sports would result in him immediately being injured and hospitalized.
But okay, I can shoot a J.
Meet on me. 6'4". Imagine with that kind of diet, that kind of workout, I'd be an Adonis, Dan. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, I did get a hit off Matt Latham.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Spud Webb was 5'6". Put me around Spud Webb's trainers growing up, and I mean, $100 million, boom.
Tony, I'm going to ask you to go sit in the penalty box.
Wow. For being overconfident.
This isn't Tony's fault.
Having confidence in myself. I'm a dog, Dan. That's falsehood. What you don't get. That's what you don't factor into your equation. When you're doing the math, oh, it's funny. He's doing this. I'm a dog, Dan. I make that shit happen, dude. I don't think you get that.
Dude.
I'll leave.
No.
But I'm a dog, Dan.
Dan, this is exactly what LeBron did to Bronny. Like what you've done with Tony is you've enabled him to think that he's a second round
pick.
Bad
parenting.
I don't want to put the blame on you, but like.
Apologize.
That's why he's here. You said, look at the people around me. Like, Tony's here. And you just encouraged him this whole time. I was getting a lecture before the show started about how I wasn't supportive enough of Tony's 800-game hitting streak situation.
Oh, that was actually a pretty good topic, though.
What is that?
It's a dog barking. I was a little slow on that.
Oh, because Tony's a dog.
Apparently, the Sabermetrics community on Reddit is real excited about it. Tony was sure to tell us.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and set this up while he's away, and I'm going to explain what's happening in the audience. And we have reached official problem status in the relationship with Billy and Tony? Because Tony is now...
I think I'm fine.
He's threatened to strangle you twice today.
That's right.
Fine. I mean, go ahead.
Well, this is where we've escalated to. Tony has threatened to strangle Billy twice today and once in Vegas. And I'm going to explain to the audience why once in Vegas Billy threatened to strangle Tony. I'm sorry, Tony threatened to strangle
Correct.
Billy. Tony had flew to Vegas with a file of carefully prepared material that he had worked 10 days workshopping all around the offices here. And every time he presented the topic to anyone, roaring laughter, engaging debate started. And he has now taken great pride in the sabermetrics community, has grabbed his hypothetical question, which is the following. A baseball player in the major leagues goes 1-for-4 in every single game for many years. Is he a Hall of Famer?
5 years.
5 years, exactly.
Yes.
So he has a 5-year hitting streak.
800 games.
800 games, but never has any extra base hits.
No home runs.
No home runs. So it's just 250 average, 250 on
with
base.
A single. Every
All
game.
Singles.
Yep.
It was a single that was added to this?
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse.
What he said is not only that it was a single, there were no home runs. I think
no
all it
runs.
Ever was is he'd right. go 1-for-4 with a single in every single game. Would that player with an 800-game hitting streak make the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
I'm on r/sabermetrics right now, the subreddit for sabermetrics. The commenters don't seem to think this person is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
They're right.
Well, he can come and he can... I guess.
Oh, he's gonna he'll be back. He'll be back in a second. But let's explain to the audience how you undermined him. Because again,
I did know.
I saw it. I saw it happening. Every room he left was roaring with laughter and argument. It was the best that Tony brought to Vegas.
That's absolutely right.
But he did it too often.
But
it was
never,
a comedian telling the same joke every single day in every single conversation. So when you hear for the 70th time, you're like, guy,
Billy,
you got
never.
And like, I just like to also, if I can, I'd also like to say, you guys just got a glimpse into what every conversation with Tony is. It's I'd be Tim Hardaway Jr. if I had this trainer. And like
he said, Gary Harris, Billy, but we never talked about it on air. So the audience was hearing it for the first time. And Billy on air, on stage in Vegas. I don't remember. You must have set it up with this is a break glass, an emergency topic.
Yeah.
And Billy hit a very cutting. Do you have any more glass to break, Dan?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Where was if I may ask, where was all the support for Tony to keep the conversation going? Because it was dead air, so I had to say something.
I don't think it was. I don't remember exactly.
Tony,
but.
You are now. You've returned. How are you feeling in general about the support you got from Billy in this circumstance?
What support, Dan? What support? Because I was in there. You sent me to the penalty box. Okay, and then we bring up one of my topics.
I brought that up for you. I teed you up for it.
That I was not here for. And then you talked about it for 3 minutes,
I
and then I came back, and then I immediately hear you shitting on it. Like, it's no. like, it's crazy.
The top comment on Reddit says, a DH with a 500 OPS would be a negative WAR player. On-base yeah. percentage of 250 with literally no extra base hits
Nerds.
Would be one of the worst DHs Nerds. In baseball.
Nerds, who cares?
800 game hitting streak.
You can't
Get
argue
real.
With an 800-game hitting streak.
Get real.
The ball that breaks the record would go to the Hall of Fame. Their jersey would go to the Hall of Fame.
And
the player doesn't go to the Hall
sure,
of Fame.
First
that's
ballot.
57. That's 57 hits. And then he has another 600 and some odd hit. Like, what are
to
we
me,
talking about?
To me, I'm with Jeremy. It's acknowledged in the Hall of Fame,
yes,
but this player, I've kind of, that's where I think it ends. That's what happens. That's, you have a whole, like, corner in a yes. room where it's, like, craziest hitting streak you've ever imagined yeah. by a below-average player. Yeah. His name? I don't know. What is his
Whatever
name?
Whatever his name
yeah,
is, doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, name.
But the point is, okay, we had this great thought exercise of all these different things and ideas.
It was just something to ponder, Tony.
Something
Tell
to ponder.
Him.
That's why yes. we have the file. Good. Of course. Things... No, we didn't.
We pondered it
no,
and
we
you
didn't.
Tried to
if
make
I
it a franchise.
If I could have laser beamed you like across the entire like hemisphere.
Box for charity?
Huh. It Come happened on stage in front of everybody where Tony, not only that, Tony's he's got his best material and he's wearing some sort of fur. And Billy took his knees out immediately. As soon as it started.
I'm going to do nothing but support Tony and his bad ideas henceforth. And we'll see where that
what
takes
bad
us.
Ideas, Billy? What bad ideas?
None.
Please explain them.
They're all good.
Thank you.
Billy.
I don't like that.
Billy, I understand why Tony is hurt that you would only support so relentlessly the bad ideas of Greg Cody and Stu Gatz, and then the moment one of his bad ideas makes an appearance, you can't get anywhere near it. You're allergic to it.
Do you guys know how this works? Do any of you know how this works?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
He's like, he needs a wheelbarrow like Mike McDaniel, this dog.
Got a pair?
Really? Man, does he get a pair. My granddaughter sees his schlong.
What are says, you talking about?
And says, right. And says what's
is,
that?
You know, oh, she doesn't.
No, she
there
did.
It is. There it is.
My
there
granddaughter it. Saw okay. his schlong right, in enough. The kitchen. All and she right. said, what is all that? Right.
What is this, a game that's, of Clue?
Okay. I
said, that's what enough. He pees with.
She saw his.
Okay.
How else am I going to explain it?
Stugatz.
It was a little extended. I don't know why he was so excited.
All right, very good.
Baby.
No!
Can I take this out?
It is a baby.
Anyway, he ate my couch.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Uber 100% drivers. Yes. Sure, there will always be more flashy players, but if you have an impact on every game for 5 years, yes, you'd get my vote. Now, if it were just on base, meaning walk or one base, I would start to get a bit more shaky.
The point is that there was in the Sabermetrics Reddit file, right, on the site. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can screen share it so we can see people. Like, there's like 5 comments, 8 comments, 10 upvotes. That's how Reddit works. This one in the Sabermetrics file on Reddit has like 300 votes, a bunch of comments.
57 comments.
The nerds arguing about, okay, look at the other
it
one.
It has 284 upvotes.
Look at the other ones, please. Just explain the other ones so people can have a reference. Because it sounds like shit.
Tony, it's a good conversation starter.
In fairness to Tony, 57 comments would be one comment more than the longest hit streak in baseball right now.
It's true.
So
imagine 800 comments.
An 800 game hitting streak is hard to ignore.
He's right. This impossible. Has more engagement than almost every other single post on the Sabermetrics Reddit.
He started a conversation.
That's it.
It's just pondered.
In February.
Everyone's pondering.
In a place, okay, where the smartest minds in baseball go to analyze and look at and research, we made things happen.
I don't know why I haven't thought of this earlier. I'm going to text Tim Kirkjian.
Okay, let's do that. Also,
you can text him, but I feel like his answer has to be definitive, and that's the final answer.
Okay.
Also, text Boog Shambi, please. And,
good Cavs.
And then
now we need three.
Disagree,
now
yeah.
we need three. Right. So who's our
Mike
third?
Sure.
Passing.
Passing.
Now we have 4. Okay.
Aberstro.
Mike Sure.
No, Mike Sure's too close to the situation.
Yeah.
Text David, because if not, he's going to get mad that we're talking about baseball.
David would be a good one, though.
Why? Because you feel like he'd agree with you?
No, I don't know what he'd say, but he'd have something to say at least.
So who are we texting? And who's texting who?
Boog Shambi. We'll get to that in a second. Boog Shambi, the other day, Stugatz, got embroiled in a conversation that we were having around here. And I'm curious what your take is on this. Because me and Mina Kimes were disagreeing about something. And the internet, Mina Kimes was laughing at me and what it is that I was saying. And the internet swelled behind Mina Kimes to also laugh at me. But I heard from a number of broadcasters, including Boog Shambi, who agreed with me on this subject. Because Mina's retort, and it was a good one to me, wondering if Tom Brady will be exceptional at that broadcasting job at $375 million guaranteed, because the skill set, I believe, is difficult to explain complicated things in tight windows. I believe it's not as easy as people think it is to have chemistry with your partner. And it's why Brady has sat out a year and is practicing and is being very meticulous about how to do this. But Mina Kimes undercut the point I was making by saying, yeah, Tom Brady has a lot of difficulty in football deciding things in 2 and 3 seconds quickly when faced with complicated subject matter. And everyone roared and applauded. What an idiot Dan is.
Funny line.
It's a good call.
No, and agreed with her. But I kept hearing from broadcasters like Boog Shambi saying people are really underestimating how difficult it is to be good and interesting in this job in a way that stands out. You don't get to just sit there because your name is Tom Brady, but you all expect Tom Brady to be great at this in tight windows. You're expecting him to be exceptional.
I'm expecting him to be great at it because he's been great at everything he's done his entire life, but I'm with Boog on this. Like, I think it's trickier than most people either realize or they know, because Tom Brady wanted to play football his entire life. He never wanted to be a broadcaster, and now he's walking in and he's filling big shoes in Greg Olsen, who became exceptional at doing things and making points in very small windows.
I'm surprised.
So there's no guarantee Brady's going to be great at it. I think he'll be great, but I think broadcasting is really, really
good. I'm just surprised at the number of people who think the skill sets are the same. To be able to break down a defense in 3 seconds with your eyes and your arm and to be able to do it with your mouth are two different skill sets.
Right.
There is a difference between what Tom Brady's going to be doing and what Boog does, though. Like, Tom Brady's just commenting on the plays in the game. He doesn't have to keep things moving. He's explaining to the layman what it is that he sees as someone who's an expert.
But Boog wasn't defending how hard it is to be a play-by-play guy. Boog was surprised that the internet took up Mina's side so convincingly on a color analyst just sits there and it's easy. Right up until people start complaining about all the color analysts they complain about, because those are some of the most unpopular people anywhere in sport.
Just because he was good at great at playing football doesn't mean he'll be great at this. I think he might be, but I have no idea. It doesn't guarantee that he's going to be great at broadcasting, because he made split second decisions as a quarterback in the NFL.
Mark Schlereth does this.
Stink. Is Boog one of our five or no?
Yeah. Right now the five is Kirkchin, Passan, Boog, Schur, and then between Adnan and Sampson, we'll go Adnan. Okay, good.
That's a good sample size, I think.
Okay.
I feel good about if we can get a definitive answer out of those five people, I trust it. And we can put this matter to rest.
I have an idea as it relates to Brady in the booth. Belichick has nothing to do. Now, I'd like to have him weekly on God Bless Football. We should make a call, but we're not going to do that. I think Belichick and Brady in the same booth would be fantastic. You like that?
Aren't they like not getting along great at the moment? There's some like kind of
you need
weird
some tension
feelings
in the booth. That's okay. A little tension.
Too much like murmur. It needs to be clear. I feel like Belichick.
Those are great play by
mumbling.
I watched him, the Belichick and Saban like documentary. I like them both.
Same.
Belichick and Saban, great chemistry. Make that a booth.
Not Belichick and Brady.
I want Belichick and Saban.
Yeah, I'd watch them because they're friends. They like to get, I feel like they'd get like,
they'd get silly together.
Exactly. That's it. The silliness. That's what we need out of them.
Sagatz, Brady and Belichick spent 20 years at microphones never saying anything interesting.
Means they have a lot to say.
On purpose, though. Right? They chose to not say anything. Mm-hmm. That's when they had something to gain, Dan. Now, you know, all bets are off. They're just getting silly together. Some silly willies.
I would say that
it'd be great.
The degree of difficulty on spending 20 years in front of microphones and never saying anything interesting is harder than being interesting always at a microphone. So you guys now want in a booth two people who are famously guarded, famously careful, famously uninteresting in their speech.
That was different versions. This is going to be Nikki Saban and Silly Billy Belichick.
Tell me if it's Belichick and Brady in the booth together. You would watch first week one, Dan. You would watch the Cardinals take on the Tennessee Titans.
Of any television show that's ever started nationally, when George Clooney is the opening guest, and then they get into week three, and it's a cooking chef from around the corner.
But what if it's great?
I mean, the first. until I watch the first time is not an enduring standard for whether it will be good. Also, if I lit somebody on fire the first time, they would also watch.
But it's a Cardinals-Titans game.
You wouldn't watch a Belichick and Saban Manning cast with like a host that they find like the Jerky Boys hosting?
I don't know what you guys are doing with the razzmatazz effervescence of Brady and Belichick speaking and being entertaining at things other than being football. People who are doing the football, not talking about the football, because neither one of them has ever said anything when talking about the football that you remember.
Well, hold on a second. Tom Brady was trying to study to be a stand-up comic, was he not? So, like, he clearly has the personality. Do we not think so?
He clearly has the personality.
Yeah, he was going to be a stand-up comedian.
And everyone who played for Belichick says there's a wacky side to Bill Belichick. Don't you want to see it?
Nick Saban used to drive and throw all of his players off the boats at the lake. Like these nuts jokes. Little Belichick liked the Jerky Boys and the prank calls. These are some wacky dudes. They just got to, you know, find the right place to do it.
Give them a chance.
Why don't we give them a chance? What are we doing?
Well, you shook your head when Stugat said we're trying to get Belichick every week.
Well, that's because I've endured so many lacrosse coaches with the promise of he's going to join to talk lacrosse. And never has he joined, obviously. And I'm just stuck in a lacrosse Zoom for the 60th time.
Do you have the biggest cringe you've ever had when it comes to Stugat getting people on and asking them for stuff? Do you have one that stands out to you?
They're all, it's all like, yes, I'm like a victim of this crime multiple times. They all blend together.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Lebatard. All of us who were watching college football elevated everything the weekend was because we missed football in general so very much.
You didn't watch the ending of UTEP Jacksonville State. It was awesome.
A dizzy.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz. Such a lane for you. Just everything in college football is awesome. Any single thing that happens, she gets deliriously happy about.
Don't you miss viewing sports through that prism, though? Like, I'm envious of Lucy. Like, I wish that I could still be happy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Tony is still fighting with the shipping container over the Gary Harris thing. Everyone's yelling at him. He's never felt more alone than he does.
This is normal, Dan. I'm alone. This is what I usually go through. What I was explaining to Jess, because she was talking about like rich families that have access to these trainers and dietitians and workout plans and all that stuff. That's not what I'm saying.
We were saying that we all know a bunch of kids that have had money and tried to have training.
What I'm talking about is professional athletes' kids. So when you have a dad or mom who's been a professional athlete and knows what it takes to get to a certain level, they can help you in a way that if you have a dork billionaire dad who doesn't know sports, how is he going to help you? No, like it doesn't work that way.
That's fine. All of that can track be so.
You saw me very animated about that, Dan. Yeah. That's what it was.
My argument is that there's a lot of rich people whose kids don't make it in professional sports because to an extent, you either have or you don't.
But Tony agrees with that.
My argument
Thank
is...
Thank you, Billy, for agreeing with Tony today.
Solely that it's harder than you guys think to get to the top of being paid to play.
Ask Bronny.
That's my point.
Regardless.
It's hard to get to D3 and play sports.
Less hard. Vastly less I did hard.
Also, Dan, another update. I have sent the 5 texts out to our baseball experts. I have heard back from a few. I'm not going to give it anyway. I want to hear, even though Boog's never going to respond to me. He doesn't really respond to me. So I have 4 responses of the 5. And would you like...
No, wait. Dan, text Boog right now. Yeah. Tell him respond to Chris Cody. We need all five in case there's a tiebreaker situation.
He knows if there's a tie or not.
I can tell you if there is. Does that matter?
Do we need Boog's answer?
We don't need Boog's answer.
Okay, wow. So then we could just do it now. Yeah. Wait, what do you think, Tony?
Could be a hung jury.
I'm guessing it's going to be consensus that that is not a Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
We should save it for the last segment.
Yes, we're going to wait. We're going to tease it out. In the meantime, what we're going to do... You guys need to interrupt me just a little more today.
Yeah, well, Stugatz is right, by the way. I got a bunch of D3 offers, so that shows you how difficult that is.
Make sure to do it with time spent listening jokes.
TSL.
That's the best way to do it. Jemele Hill is joining us now because I am desperate to go viral in this costume with serious subject matter, and I want to ask her some serious questions, but I also want to ask her a handful of silly questions, and I've got a shameful admission to make. Shameful admission for a 55-year-old to make, which is I did not know that the Clippers were a boat until I saw the new uniform design the other day.
Wow.
I learned that the other day.
I'm learning it now.
And I'm ashamed of it. Surely on the West Coast, Jemele, this is not any kind of news to you. You're judging me as a fellow journalist for my ignorance. This is the height of privilege that I don't know this already, correct? And I'm allowed to not know basic things that people are supposed to know in sports.
Dan, I'm judging you for a lot of things right now, the least of which is the Clippers, which I didn't know either. I found out as soon as you just said it right now. I had no idea. I've only been living out in L.A. It'll be 6 years this year, so I'm not deeply embedded enough clearly to know what the Clippers, what their nickname actually stood for.
I am stunned by that. Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Did you know the Clippers were a boat before their recent uniform unveil? Yes or no?
I knew because of the Fort Lauderdale Hotel, the Yankee Clipper.
All right. So we will find out whether the audience knew that or not. But there is a lot of stuff that I want to talk about with Jemele Hill. And I will tell you, Jemele Hill is Unbothered is a podcast and a YouTube celebration that you should enjoy. It's Jemele Hill on YouTube, at It's Jemele Hill on YouTube. And she's got Mary J. Blige and Method Man on Jemele Hill is Unbothered. Did you uncover any of the good stuff with them? You've gotten a lot of guests here that are top end on Jemele Hill is Unbothered. You're really enjoying this project, I would imagine. What did those two, I mean, these are two people you've wanted to talk to your entire life, right?
Mary J. Blige is probably... You know, for my generation, I mean, she's probably the number one female R&B artist, you know, for a lot of us. I literally feel like I grew up with this woman because when her first album dropped, I was a senior in high school. And so when her second album, My Life, dropped, I was in college. So all the heartache she discussed in this album, I could sort of relate to at that point and stage in my life. But the beauty of these two, Mary J. and Method Man, is that I was able to sort of get linked into the power universe. So I actually spent many hours on set with Mary J. and Method Man because I had a scene with them where I was, of course, playing my favorite character, which is myself. That's always a great character to play. They always, whenever they need a reporter, they need me to do a cameo. Somehow that became my role in the power universe. But that was really special for me. Because had you told me as a youngster growing up in Detroit that the literal poster on my wall and Mary J. Blige, someday I would not only share a set with her, but get a chance to interview her. I just never would have believed it.
Power is a guilty pleasure for me. Is it still strong after all of these years?
The books are kind of whatever.
The spinoffs have been great, I think. I mean, especially hers.
The original 5 or 6 seasons of Power were excellent. Then once they started doing the spinoffs, I was just like, you kind of lost me.
Yeah, well,
I need Ghost.
I felt that way, and then with Raising Kanan, which I think is like really well done. That one, Power Force, featuring the Joseph Segura who plays Tommy. And even this one, you know, it goes to like, I think they've done as good of a job as you could building an entire universe without sort of the main character that created all of this. So I love it. But Dan, I got an even deeper guilty pleasure. And I got a chance to record something about it for yesterday. So I'm all in on Tubi Hive. Like, Tubi has me, I'm fighting for my life with this fast channel. I don't know how it came to be, but it has such eloquent cinema on there that is all rooted, a lot of it is rooted in Detroit. And a lot of it is real hood. I'm not gonna hold you up. It's very, very hood. And it has me right now. It has a lock on me, Dan. I need to get out of this Tubi hive, because before I look up and know it, I watch like 7 or 8 Tubi movies, and I don't know what happened to all of my day because I'm so invested in this network now.
It is getting harder and harder to not get addicted to some of these candy sugar things that end up with you getting lost in some of these places. Billy was arguing earlier. He was saying also, because we can't figure out what's real or not real on the internet, he's saying this is the single best time in the history of America to be a skeptic.
But he's not wrong. I mean.
Yeah, put it on the poll, please. Is this the best time in the history of America to be a skeptic? But I wanted to talk to you about something serious here, Jamel, because these things happen pretty slowly to the tearing down. When we find out that people that we loved once upon a time, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, these things don't happen quickly. And it would appear that Diddy right now is in the middle of this happening. And it feels like he's about to have a whole lot of people come forward with the freedom to not be afraid of his money and his power. So what do you think is happening here and is going to happen with Diddy?
Well, I think once the floodgates were sort of open with his ex, Cassie, coming out with the allegations that she did, which were very serious, very, you know, they were damning, you know, to be totally honest. I think as we see the pattern with all of these cases, it takes one person, that person has the bravery and the courage to come forward. And then suddenly you hear many, many stories and or you have many allegations that surface. And I think with Diddy, usually a lot of times with these people, I can't say this was the case with Harvey Weinstein because like I'm not embedded enough in that world to know. But I know that in general, when it comes to these accusations finally coming to light, they have been the subject of whispers for many, many years. So these are, you may now be finding out the gory, awful, tragic, horrible details, but there's always been a lot of whispers around some of these people that when we finally sort of understand the depth of what the allegations are against them, it can be jarring to a lot of people because a lot of people have put people like him and the people you mentioned, Bill Cosby, they put them on pedestals. These are people who have been entertaining us for decades, not just 1 or 2 years. And so at this point, I don't know why we continue to put these people on pedestals or why we continue to act surprised and stunned when more often than not, the combination of power, money, of being completely unchecked and having enablers, it typically does not lead to the greatest of behaviors. And they don't all have to be as serious as the allegations against Diddy, but they typically don't lead to the best behaviors in people. I'm not saying that we should not allow ourselves the luxury of entertainment. What I am saying, and to some degree, we actually see this with Cam Newton, and trust me, I can link it there, is that every time we elevate people who are in celebrity positions beyond the station of just being people who entertain us, we find out every single time that your faves are problematic.
You don't expect him to keep his freedom, right? Like, I mean, we can all do innocent until proven guilty, but there's so much here, and it's been talked about for so long. You expect Diddy to be able to survive this with his freedom?
I actually do, but I think his reputation is, the damage is irreversible. You know, when you think about how he was moving in the business world, I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to do business with Diddy. And it's only unfortunate in this way. And I'm not saying that this should be a reason that people feel any sympathy whatsoever for him, but usually these people have built an entire economy around what they do. And so it's not just about Diddy. It's about the people that have become sort of part of the empire he's built. Like I think about Revolt. I know a lot of people who work over at Revolt. These are really good, talented people. And I'm wondering, like, what's going to happen to them because of all of this? Because anything right now with Diddy's name on it is toxic. So it's not just about him. He's sinking everything that he's been attached to. And so I expect him to maybe survive with his freedom, but his reputation is gone. And if he had any higher aspirations in business. I just don't see how that's even remotely possible now.
As a veteran of journalism who's not often surprised by things, and for those who do not know, what are the worst of the details when you're reading through this and you're like, oh my God, this surprises even me, even though I've seen just about everything here?
Well, so I think people are sort of having the wrong conversation, is that they have made this about Diddy's sexuality, whatever that may be. It is not about Diddy's sexuality. It's about whether or not he abused his power, whether or not he committed a crime, and whether or not he was assaulting and has this awful track record of abusing young women. That's what this is about. That's where our outrage and shock should be directed toward, is that, not toward who it was. Who it was doesn't matter. The method and how he operated is what matters. And so I think the violence of it, because, you know, while there, you know, there's been certain incidents that Diddy has been alleged to have done or whatever, I don't think that people necessarily looked at him as having this violent persona. And so hearing about some of these details, that part of it, and I just think the depravity of all of it, to want, if there's any possibility that he could have really hurt some people, you know, not just emotionally, but physically. I mean, that all of that is just very sickening, you know, to me. And unfortunately, as a result, then you see why we need to have more conversations around educating people about sexual assault. So that sort of the ignorance factor of all of this and how we're processing it, that part I'm always disappointed in.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.